What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that, you know, is fond of a best of. It likes the essential, but by God, we love our greatest hits. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Oh, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that opening salvo a reference to?
It was a reference to the fact that we're talking about our top five greatest hits albums of all time today. We've been dancing around there for a couple of years.
Yeah, and you know what? It's an important distinction because you,
I was very clear about that.
That no best ofs, no definitive collections. Yeah. I noticed you even threw a modern slant with no, this is
the essentials. Yeah. You know, like.
None of that. No best ofs.
No best ofs. Because yes. they're different. They're a different cat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's more for.
We could do a whole episode of top five best ofs.
Yes, that's a different episode. Greatest hits is very much what it says in the tin,
and we will get into it later on.
Yes. Until then,
how have you been?
I've been well. Hey, it's been a while since I've seen you, huh? Yeah, hot shit. What was it? 3 days ago.
Four. I guess I saw you Sunday, so 3 days ago.
Technically. Yeah. We had our textbook night away. And it was great. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm still tired.
I was very tired Sunday as well. Like,
I mean, Sunday was a fucking write off. And I like,
get we this. Drank loads.
I had six bottles of beer.
I had six Bulmers. No whiskey.
In the space of the entire day. So not
like
much.
8 hours, 10 hours, whatever. Like.
But Jesus. But of course, you can't come back on Sunday with that energy. You got to come back and be like, hey, I know I've been away, so I'm going to be extra. I'm going to be extra today, guys.
I was up until I wasn't. You know what I mean? About like half six, I was like, I'm so tired.
My God.
Never mind that you've been at home with the two crazy kids.
Yeah.
Like, my needs have to be met of my tiredness.
Even on Monday, like, I still hadn't shaken it off entirely. Mm. And I feel like, well, today I'm probably just tired because I just didn't get much sleep. But. Takes it like a hangover is now a guaranteed 48 hour procedure for me.
I didn't feel hungover, you know what I mean?
Like,
stomach wasn't in bits or like didn't feel awful, but I felt
just the aftermath, whatever it is, whether it's just staying up late and
drinking.
That's
it, we're up to like 3
beers,
in the morning, like,
you know. But it was great, and it's just
such good crack.
It's great to just be able to sit and watch football and help yourself to whatever you need.
Crisps.
You know.
Salt and vinegar peanuts, which apparently nobody seems to like. Psychopaths.
You hand it to me. He's like, you want some? Like, yeah. Just pass the full bag to the next person.
He's like, no thanks. Get them away from me. Like, somebody try them.
Try it. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm finally starting to feel like myself again. Hmm. But yeah.
And a grand old time.
Yeah, it was great. How about you? What do you... What's your deal?
I mean, how long you got? I want to talk about some things that I purposely didn't talk about on Saturday.
Oh.
Didn't want to blow my load. And, you know, we were on a week off last week. That's, you know, mea culpa.
That means that's Latin for his fault.
Yeah, Josh. I had some family stuff going on.
As I said on the Patreon, it's... You would think that it'd be easy balancing a young family and full-time job and not residing in the county where the studio is.
Yeah.
You would think
that
would
be
easy. We don't
work in the county, though.
Well, true. I mean, I was here. But yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not easy. But that's not an excuse. We apologize. We don't like to miss. And I tell you, Terry, to his credit, was trying every possible thing to get in.
So
get it done.
Wednesday we had, you know, a bit of illness in the house. So I was like, okay, fine. Took the day off work.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday I had a meeting, an inter-county meeting. I had left Dublin and was down in Kilkenny. Mm. But I was like, I'll be back and then I'll be able to get over early, get the record done, and then bish bash bosh. Of course, the meeting went long, didn't get back in the office till like close to 5. Missed my regular train home.
So we're later even
than
normal.
Exactly. So I'm later than normal and didn't get the podcast. So, you know, it was a double whammy.
Especially, I mean, you were saying to me, like, especially when everyone else is like, should we get some lunch?
Yeah.
You're like, I am on a tight fucking schedule here.
Like an hour,
I can't drive home, though, so.
I'm stuck in the car with you, lovely people. So, you know, it was one of those things. The lunch was lovely. I had a croque monsieur.
Excuse me?
You never had a croque monsieur?
No.
Hmm. Well.
What is that?
It's like a French ham and cheese toasty. It's delicious.
What's different about it?
Bechamel sauce.
Excuse me?
What's wrong with you, man? Can't I bring a little culture to here?
You're going to have to push through this resistance new that I've never heard. This is scaring me, Terry. Yeah.
But it's just like a really fancy, like lots of melted cheese on it. Like, really tasty.
Nice. What drinks did you have there? Where did you try and ingratiate yourself with normal people?
I have water. Plenty of water.
Just the tap water, thanks.
Yeah. You know, everybody was... drinking their coffees or whatever.
Yeah.
Even in the meeting, they're like, "Can we get you coffee, tea?" I'm like,
"Yeah."
Do you have a Coke Zero? I was like, "Water's fine, thanks."
Just a water. Yeah. Sparkling, please.
Yeah, I had a Coke Zero because I got the early train up. I had a Coke Zero at 6:30 or whatever.
You were buzzing.
Yeah. got me over the line anyway.
So, what sort of stuff did you back on talking about on Saturday?
Oh, I want to talk about something sad.
Oh, okay.
David Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
He's no longer with us.
Who's that? The director fella.
Yeah.
Have I seen that in the views?
No, we talked about it. I did like the Twin Peaks rewatch and his movies and stuff.
Is he a Charlie Kaufman-esque sort of...
He's like a precursor, you know. He's kind of one of a kind.
Right.
You know, like... And...
Let me ask you a question. Could you turn on a movie that you hadn't seen before? How long would it take you to realize, oh, this is a David Lynch movie? Like, does he have a certain tone?
Yeah. There's a term that everybody uses incorrectly. Like, Lynchian.
Yeah.
Is a term that's like, oh, this is a very Lynchian movie.
And everyone just using it to mean weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, I saw something on Twitter the other day where it was like, everybody drawing around this term Lynchian. And it was like, The Sopranos, when, I don't know if you remember, they go, Christopher and Silvio go to like the old hitman house.
Oh, yeah.
And like, they're like half blind or like talking about how they used to kill people. And it was like, the weird tone and like odd jokes that happened there is like, that's probably the closest thing to like something that would be Lynchian.
Yeah.
You know, now there's other stuff that's like deeply upsetting and you're like, oh,
God.
But like really arresting. You're like, I can't take my eyes away, but oh my God, this is upsetting me.
I've only seen him talk once, and that was when someone said on set they were worried about it going too long or something. And he's like, oh, that. Fucking, I don't know what he was saying.
That's a real like outlier because he's like a sweet guy. He's like, he's in the back of a limo at Cannes and he's like, two cookies and two cokes. Amazing. You know, like.
But what's his style? Like, what is it, just kind of like off the wall a little bit? Like,
it's like, everything like, is it like, a bit off kilter. You know what I mean?
Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. And like, Twin Peaks, I watched The Return, which is the sequel thing, and that's what I was saying. Like, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
One of the best pieces of anything I've ever seen. Oh. And yet, if you were to, like, sit me down, if I was like, and this happened in this episode, and I'm like, but the scene goes on for 15 minutes and really doesn't progress that much, but I can't understand why I love it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He has this way of, like, sucking you in, like, whatever the mood, the tone, the way things look, I found anyway, I'm like, I just kind of like mesmerized.
Would you say he's quite, now I'm going to coin this term, a liminal director?
Yeah, he would work in the liminal space,
you know,
all right?
I mean?
You know?
Working in, accessing that liminal part of your brain.
He did the original Dune. You know, he did the original Dune, Andy.
Doom, with Dwayne Johnson.
Dune.
Well, why didn't you say so, Terry?
Yeah, you know, that pioneering movie that really went for the POV style.
Hell yeah.
Fucking shite.
First to ever do it.
And the best, apparently. So it was just very sad, and it was nice seeing...
How old was he, sorry?
He was in his 70s and he had emphysema. He was kind of saying he was probably never going to direct again.
Right, right.
I read somewhere that it might have been due to the fires that, you know, exacerbated, but... I've read that one place, you know what I mean?
Okay, so you don't know.
I don't know, you know. But it was like as a result of his emphysema. Judging, he smoked all the time.
Right.
And he was never going to give up smoking. Like,
right, yeah. Judging from the amount of tributes I've seen from various people.
He truly is.
He's obviously good then.
One of a kind. And like, I recorded that episode on Patreon there. You can my top five movies that I watched for the first time this year. You know, you can listen to it for the low, low fee of €5 a month if you're not a subscriber. But I put a little clip
in. It's actually
in.
Good. I'm not a big movies man, and I actually enjoyed it.
So. Actually good. Rave review from Andy Cantwell.
Do you know what I mean? It's not my subject matter, but I even enjoyed it.
But I put the clip in because I thought it'd be fitting of, like, in The Fabelmans, Steven Spielberg's movie about himself, yeah. Where he...
Self-indulgent tripe.
The ending is he gets to meet John Ford. It's a real thing that happened. And he got David Lynch to play John Ford.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you're about to meet the world's greatest director. And it's like, it's David Lynch walks into the screen. I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. Nice. Like, you know?
Okay.
He was held in very high esteem.
A director's director, you might say.
And everybody's director. Like, you know, if I said to, if you watched Mulholland Drive, you might be confused, but it would be like, it's like Miyazaki stuff where you're like, but I'm thinking about it, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like...
One of those where you're like, 3 days later, you're like, you know, I can't stop thinking about that movie or that scene.
That scene where it's like, why did it look that way? Or why was it sound that way? Like, remember The Simpsons where who shot Mr. Burns? And it's like, Burns' suit. Like, that's from Twin Peaks. That, like, and like talking backwards in the red room and all that.
And do you have to kind of go back and look and say, oh, that means that? And is it one of those, like, filled with Easter egg before like, they called it Easter egg?
Yeah, it was kind of like Twin Peaks, and then you're like, if you think of Twin Peaks, and then, like, jump forward, like, 12... 14 years, whatever it was, Lost, are like two kind of totemic, what the fuck is this show?
Yeah.
And there was nothing that was able to capture it as much, in my opinion anyway, in between.
Right.
But it's kind of those, like, Twin Peaks, the first season, was like, what the fuck, this is amazing.
I just remember Andy talking about it all the time, mutual friend.
And it was huge in the States, and it was like, how? Like, people are still like, I don't know how, like, because David Lynch was not a mainstream director.
Yeah, yeah.
But he made this show, and it was like, took... America, it was only 8 episodes, took them by storm. Second season, they were like, give us 18 episodes. And he was like off making other movies. And it kind of really went off the tracks completely.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he'll be missed. I don't know. Like, I watched his movie, The Straight Story, which is like the opposite of, like, it's the outlier in his filmography.
It's a normal movie.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love this movie. This is fucking incredible. Like, even because, like, kind of what you come for with Lynch is like,
it's going to be the weird shit.
Or it's like the stuff that's like, it's going to get into your mind. It's like, this does, but in a way that I'm like, oh, he actually does see, like, he fucking loves small town Americana, that kind of stuff. You know, so.
A life well lived, you might say.
I tell you what, he apparently, now I don't see it, but like, they're like, oh, he's so hot. Everybody thinks he's incredibly attractive. He was able to swoop Isabella Rossellini out from under Martin Scorsese's feet.
Martin Scorsese was tapping that ass?
He was married to her, yeah.
All right, well. You gotta take the high road, eh?
Always.
But I can see it, though, with David Lynch.
Can you? I don't see it.
Now, he's probably about 10 to 15 years older from what I see, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, but...
He's
Twin Peaks. He plays a character in Twin Peaks. And, like, even in that, I'm like, I don't really see it, but people that talk about him, you know.
Ladies love the bad boy. Yeah. Even though he's not necessarily a bad boy.
Ladies
at
love
all.
The nice guy.
They like a man to be his own man, you know. Or what do I know? I don't know. I don't know what you want.
Speaking of bad boy.
Please. I'm right here.
I've been watching something on Netflix.
Bad Boys?
No.
Ride or Die?
No.
Hey, we like that.
Yeah, I did, but we're not going to watch it again. Unless we're doing it for the podcast or something. I'm watching something on Netflix called Ripley. Have you heard of Ripley?
Believe it or not.
No, not Ripley, believe it or not. Okay. World records or whatever, like, thing. You know the talented Mr. Ripley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the same story, but it's TV show.
Who's playing him?
Andrew Scott. Irishman, Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who that is.
You know him.
Would I?
Yeah, Google him there and you'll
while
see.
While you're talking there, let me see.
It's an 8-part miniseries. It's basically the story of the talented Mr. Ripley. Written and directed by Steve Zaillian.
This clown.
You've never seen him?
No.
He
looks Irish.
Him and Paul Mescal were like on the circuit. They did a movie together.
I'll bet.
In 2023, and they were like everywhere.
I'll bet they were everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not Paul Mescal. No, nothing against Paul Mescal. We've been over it, but
you don't get it.
I don't get it.
Like somebody else say the same thing to me.
Really?
So, yeah.
I just don't get it. Like to be his level of saturation.
Well, normal
versus his output.
Normal People was huge. That's the thing.
That's
normal
the movie.
That was the TV show he did.
Oh, during, TV show.
Yeah, I think it was lockdown, maybe, or it was around that where it was like it's the Sally Rooney. You know, Sally Rooney, the author. Her books are everywhere, man. Right. Yeah, okay.
Nope.
Yeah. So like they made that was best-selling novel, yeah. Like romantic novel, and then it was like made into the TV show.
Right.
And it was a huge smash. And that put him on the map, essentially.
Everyone has heard of it.
Pretty much, like, I don't know how you have not heard of it. Like.
You know me, T.
But Ripley, right, get this.
Believe this or not.
Shot in black and white.
Uh-huh.
By PTA's cinematographer, Mr. Ellsworth, right?
Okay, yeah.
Andy, okay. It looks fucking incredible.
Okay.
I don't know how they do this where there's bits where like they're on the it's in like the 1960s in Italy.
Yeah.
And like I don't know how they I guess they've gone to the villages that are still like that because there's lots of like walking around on like stone steps or mm-hmm. whatever and it's like, oh, this is not on a set, this is real.
So like it looks good because it looks so from the 60s?
Yeah, there's that part of it. But also like the sea. I'm like, what how do they get the sea that colour? Because it's black and white, so you know, the shirts and stuff. But then the sea is like a completely different color, black. Mm. And it looks fucking incredible. Mm. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh.
It's 8 episodes. If you like...
Go on.
Kind of like, you know the way Breaking Bad was like, how's he going to get away with it?
Yeah.
You know, he's boxed into a corner. There's a lot of that in this. Right. Where you're like, he's a bad guy.
Now, I haven't seen The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Do you know?
No, okay. The story is...
What's this on, by the way?
What? Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. All so right. It's just there for you.
All right.
but it's like he... I don't know. He's a bad guy. He does some terrible things. And yet, I'm rooting for him. He's a guy that's from lower class society that kind of infiltrates high society and hates everybody. And you can see the disdain in his face. For mm-hmm. everybody that's there. But like he also wants to be them so much. He wants to have the money. But like he can't help but hate everybody when he's talking to them and stuff like that. You can see the look on his face.
Yeah.
And it's some great like facial.
Is he Irish in it?
He's American in it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really Dakota Fanning is in it. She's really good in it.
What'd you give it out of 10?
10?
Oh.
Probably the best TV show I've watched.
In what? All year? All in the last 6 months?
Probably of the last year, you know, like from 2024 to the start of 25.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really fucking good.
Did you see Severance season
two? It's back,
two?
Yeah. Have you watched the first season?
No. But I feel like that's one that I'm closest out of all of them to watching.
Take the plunge. Yeah. It's good. Like,
I have
you
Apple
talk
TV
about,
on
like,
my phone.
What?
I have Apple TV on my phone, the iPhone, you know.
What do you mean?
I think I have like 3 months free Apple
Give me
TV.
Your login.
Well, I haven't set it up yet, but...
Give me a login.
Okay, well, let me set it up first. Then I'll give it to you.
Give me a login.
Okay, I'll do it now.
Severance is really good.
That's one that I'd like to watch, because I keep hearing...
First two episodes are good, of season two, really good.
The rest not as much.
No, first season's class. Like, okay. It's really good. So I'm going to be watching that week to week.
Season two not as good after the first two episodes?
No, season two is really good. Like, right. It started off... It's not like, oh...
Yeah.
They did, like, because it was gone for 3 years.
See, I was going to say something. That actually reminds me of something, because do you know the way, like, I feel like online you hear a lot of people giving out, rightly so in my opinion, on how long it takes mm-hmm. to get another series made, and I kind of feel that, like, it happened with like Stranger Things with me, and it happened with what else is a brand new thing that's just come back and people are, no one gives a shit, I don't know, there was something else, but it's like, do you think that the amount of time it now takes shows to come back around.
It's a huge
thing. People already kind of like, I loved Stranger Things season one and I couldn't wait for season two when season one ended. And then enough time went by that I was kind of a bit like,
season two came back pretty quickly. But then two to three, that's when I dropped off.
Right.
2 to 3, I was like, wait a minute. Like it was another year and a half or 2 years.
Do you think that results in people kind of being a bit like, ah, no.
Yeah, for stuff like people, I think a lot of people rewatch Severance
right.
to get up to speed. But yeah, that's like far too long.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 3 years is too long. But yeah. I think it's worked for them this time around because it actually rebuilt up anticipation. Whereas with Stranger Things, I think you're right. I was the same. A lot of people turned off.
Hmm.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
All of a sudden, like all of a sudden, and now maybe the Stranger Things is a bit different if like you said, it wasn't that long.
But one and two, I think, were quite close together. But then 2 to 3 was a big gap. And I was like, yeah.
Because I kind of remember, like, I was all invested. I was invested in every single thing. And then when I came around again, I was like, by the episode 2 or 3, I was saying to Kerry, I'm like, I don't care about any of this anymore.
But I think you watched season 2 as well.
I don't think I finished it.
Did you not?
No, I don't think so.
I remember I was talking to you about season 3, and you were like, why is your man just shouting all the time? Like the chief, like,
yeah
oh my god,
he's turned into some like
some wearing like person. Big Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that. I'm like, sorry.
But I think for like Severance it probably did help, because one, Stranger Things was a hit right out the gate, whereas Severance I feel was a bit more of a grower.
Yeah, because not everybody has Apple TV.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
It took, like, it's become like, the fact that I want to watch it and I've heard a lot about it is like, I keep hearing how great it is. So I think that it had a bit of time to gain a bit of traction. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, you're right. Like, I think it's a fine line.
Yeah.
Like, look at Squid Game.
Yeah.
Right? So Squid
Game. That's what I was thinking of. Squid Game.
Squid Game 2.
I haven't even bothered to watch.
It's really good.
Season 2, is it?
It's really good.
Okay.
But it was a long time.
Mm.
Again, another COVID production or released during COVID or whatever. Maybe that has an effect on it.
I feel I thought I would be jumping into Squid Game 2 the
it's
day
good.
It came
out. I would recommend it. Because we did a whole episode on it back then. Like,
you loved it.
It's not as good as the first one, but they do an incredible job. They did it with the first one as well, with the characters in it.
Yeah.
Because it's brand new characters back in the game or whatever. And you're like, oh, like, there's a mother and a son. There's a dynamic there. There's a guy who's like a YouTube influencer for like crypto stuff.
Right.
That, like, oh, other people in the game, like, I lost money because of you. All these things. And, like, you get so attached to the characters really quickly. They have a really good knack of, you know, making you get invested and care.
A little bit like Beast Games, in the sense that you very much start to, you know, have your favorites.
So it's number 2 on Amazon Prime,
uh-huh.
the TV shows.
Guess Beast Games?
Yeah, what's number 1?
No, I don't know.
Molly May, My Story. So that tells you
who is that.
She was on Love Island, I think.
Okay.
Wasn't she with Tommy Fury? You know.
Yeah.
So that tells you exactly what that means, Andy. If you're number 1 on Amazon or number 2 or whatever.
Yeah, but okay. I push back a little bit on that now, because
brainwashed.
If Molly May, whatever the fuck, was on Netflix, it would probably be number 1 on Netflix too. Possibly. I don't think you could judge, well, that's the typical Amazon viewer. I don't think you could, you know what I mean?
I'm just saying, Andy.
I'm just, but I mean, I don't care about where it ranks.
Because
all I know,
this game you're saying it's a big hit.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's good.
No, it is good.
I don't believe
it. No, I wasn't saying it's a big hit. I was saying, in much in the same way that Beast Games, they draw you into the character. And in fact, Mr. Beast himself features very little.
Mr. Beast.
Excuse me. Jimmy Donaldson features very sparingly. He's now just kind of like game show host. And it's all about the contestants. You know what I mean?
Great, whatever. Like,
it's good.
It's not. Anyway.
I'm telling you, it's good. Folks,
no thanks.
Don't listen to Terry.
Do listen to me, folks. Who is more trustworthy, me or Andy?
Look, you know I don't suffer fools lightly, Terry.
You do. You totally do.
You do nothing but suffer fools. Trust me on this one, guys. All right.
So Squid Game 2 is good. I just want to talk. Like, I mentioned it on Saturday. Here, I think Netflix. Maybe this is why they're holding it back so long. They released it Christmas Day or Stephen's Day, so they want those juicy numbers for Q4
quadrant,
and it'll obviously roll over into Q1 25 and then they're releasing, I think, like, they split essentially season 2 into 2 parts,
right?
So like,
oh really?
Yeah, so like season 3, or it's like, should be like 2B, if you get me.
Oh, okay.
It's coming in June, which would be like
quadrant 2
Q2. Yeah, there you go.
So they're beefing up the numbers basically by releasing it at the end of whatever the fiscal.
Delightfully devilish, Netflix.
Well, I guess that's why they're jacking up the price to all those American viewers.
If it goes up again.
If it goes up again, I'm cancelling.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much WWE is on it at the minute. Hey, is it shit now?
I think so.
What a time to bring it. Like,
it's hotter than ever. I watched the fans love it.
I watched 40 minutes of it. I found it while I was just in bed just watching it. Kerry was watching it. I found it a very easy watch.
Did you say?
Yes. Because I'm like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? No. Like, I don't know anything.
Who were you watching?
Jey Uso. Didn't like him. Didn't like his big long fucking intro. The guy, Gunther, who...
Now, Gunther's my guy.
Like, straight away, I'm like, I like him. He's great. But, like, I like it just to
I think he's the record now. He holds the record for intercontinental reign.
Oh, really?
And then he dropped it, and now he's the world champ. So, like, he's that type of guy where it's like, you can just... He's just a hand. He's as stable as a table. You know what I mean? Like,
but what I like about it is that I can watch it and enjoy. I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool. Or if I don't, then I'm just shit talking to Kerry about like, look at this. Like, or like, Bailey was trying to threaten someone. I'm like, she just doesn't have a threatening bone in her body. This one, you know, like that sort of where
hugger.
We can just talk. Yeah. You know,
that's good.
So I like that. And it's loud.
Why
and
don't you just use the Thriller app?
Excuse me.
What do you have? What do you watch Netflix on?
My TV?
Yeah. But like, is it a smart TV?
It's a dumb TV, actually. But it has Netflix on it.
So it's
the worst TV I've ever had, actually. You've opened a can of worms here. And I remember specifically when I said it to you, I was like, got a new TV? You're like, hey, what kind? I was like, Sharp. You're like, Sharp still make TVs? And then, I should have known then. I should have returned it then, because it is bullshit, this TV. But it does
Can you get apps on it?
No, just Netflix and Prime.
That's it?
Yep.
You can't download any internet?
And YouTube. Yep. No, unless you want like France News 24 or any of these.
Can you cast to it?
Yeah, I can cast to it, yeah.
Okay, so why don't... Here's what you should do.
If I have a Chromecast, yeah.
Don't you have a Chromecast?
You actually have a Chromecast.
Oh, I still do? Okay, I'll get back to you. Well, we'll rectify that, right? Here's what you should do.
Yeah.
Because you have... Download the Thriller app to your phone.
Okay. How much?
It's free.
Okay.
Andy, you'll get the login off Andy.
Okay.
And you can try watch AEW from the cast TV. It from your phone to the TV and see if you like it the same, like that. Okay. Sit there, shit talking or whatever right. like
Much better.
For me it is. It is. There's certain things that, I mean, I got a bit feisty on Saturday with our friend Andy straight away. Like,
do you know what?
I couldn't believe what I was hearing, to be honest.
Yeah. When I
were you recording?
When I was sitting there. Yeah, when I was sitting there.
Did you record it?
I recorded. Can I play a minute of it?
Yeah, go on.
I genuinely haven't listened back to it since, but you just reminded me that I was sitting there thinking, this is... Do you know what? I was on the toilet, and it was when we had just got there, and I could hear you having a passionate thing about...
I couldn't believe it.
I was sitting there being like, oh, this is fucking brilliant. You know, just hearing that, like, that's the debate. So hang on. Let's see if I can get any of it.
Waste of time putting over. He's never
going to be good looking.
That's Andy. Okay.
Yeah. I just don't want on my TV. He's on my TV
all the time. Anyway, it goes on like this.
I think that was me talking about Chris Jericho like on the TV. And he's like, he's giving out about other, like, because a lot of ex-WWE guys have gone over and he's like, they shouldn't be on the TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, exactly, like Chris Jericho. I've no problem with Jericho. I'm like, what? So
it was great.
I think it's better wrestling. It's weird that the promos in WWE have kind of gotten much better than what they were.
Yeah.
And the ones in AEW, some of them have gone down a bit. Like, right. You know, they had great stuff with CM Punk and MJF during a couple of years ago. It's kind of hard to...
Is MJF in AEW?
Yeah. He's the guy. Well,
Was he with WWE?
No, never. And the whole thing was like...
When is he gonna?
He signed the new deal, like fat paycheck with AEW.
Is he like AEW's main guy?
He's one of them. Like,
who's the biggest draw in it? Who's the biggest guy in AEW?
I mean, Moxley is the champ at the moment,
right.
But like, he's kind of stinking up the joint with his act at the moment.
His shtick was unhinged.
That, like, I'm going to kill you, like, literally, like, put a plastic bag over Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And that's kind of just, like, how do you top that? Do you, like, murder somebody? And, like, it's kind of, to be honest, I'd be like, get it off him now at this point.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to stick with him. But then they have a bunch of other guys that, like, Will Ospreay is, you know, and Kenny Omega, guys that came from Japan that are, like, the wrestling world's biggest. They're like, these are the best wrestlers. Yeah.
Nerds love them.
Whereas they don't have a The Rock or a John Cena. Or, you know, like MJF is probably that because he's kind of,
you fucking Mark.
But like, he's going to be in like Happy Gilmore too. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's playing Happy Gilmore's son.
Happy Gilmore's son?
Yeah, in like Happy Gilmore too. So like...
What?
Yeah. He's
is he an MJF type character?
I don't know. I hope so. That'd be amazing. I hope it's like... an entitled
kind of like
prick.
A Shooter McGavin,
that'd be perfect.
That'd be great.
Like, I don't look at my own son, you know.
You turn him into you. Hey, yeah. Terry, before we hit the people with our top greatest hits,
yeah,
I had a bit of a first of all, let's introduce our new segment, the Bangers for Terry.
I can't wait to hear this jingle. And it better not just be you like, hey, it's a banger for Terry.
Well, it's not going to be a fucking chart topper. Right?
Yeah,
well,
just put
it's a little 10-second jingle. There'll be effort. There'll be music. There'll be vocals. Right. There'll be backing vocals. Okay.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. It's bangers for Terry. Boom, boom, boom. What will you give me?
So. Terry, now, for those of you, I don't have to tell you guys at home about the brand new Taken Back Sunday feud of 2000 and, I don't know, possibly in the late 90s, actually.
Was that long ago?
Well, brand new song was 2001, and Taken Back Sunday's response was 2002, and...
I thought this was like, you know, 10 years ago or something.
Well, it lives on.
Does it?
Yeah, or you better believe it. So, tales all this time, as you said last week. Two friends, two separate bands, fell out over a girl.
I couldn't really... I listened to the two songs.
Okay.
So what's the name of them?
Brand New is 70 times 7, and Taken Back Sunday is There's No I in Team.
The relevance for 70 times 7.
I don't know.
Okay, because I was like, 490? What's that got?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I know, and as was backed up by Super Patron, I'm going to call him, Rob McAdams, where he reminded me that there was T-shirts going back and forth between each other because Taking Back Sunday's lead singer does the thing. I actually saw it in the fucking Ambassador, where it's actually really impressive, where he'll fucking... swing the mic around his neck and then fucking swing it back and catch it right on time. And
nice.
I mean, it's pretty cool showmanship. But anyway, Brand New had t-shirts saying that was Taken Back Sunday. But the Brand New had t-shirts that came out and said mics are for singing, not for swinging. And then Taken Back Sunday was like, hey, swinging since 99, Taken Back Sunday, whatever, right? But that's an aside.
Okay, so this kind of confirms something that I've...
Please.
...that I had from listening to the two songs. Mm-hmm. Brand New are kind of like... wimps or douchebags.
Okay.
And Taken Back Sunday are slightly cooler. That was my impression I got from the two songs.
Hmm.
And, that was just from listening to those two songs.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
No, I don't agree with that.
So,
can
you tell me, because I couldn't... Here's the problem.
Couldn't understand what they were saying?
Yes! And I was like, what is he saying? Like,
so, okay.
And I understood, there's a bit about a car crash and somebody going through the window.
Yeah, but pulling no punches there.
It's not very nice. Yeah. I'll tell you that, it's not very nice.
I'm going to play a bit for you folks now so you'll know what we're talking about, and then I'm going to come back.
As if it happened to me, wasn't enough. I gotta go and write a song just to remind myself of that song.
So
the guy from Taken Back Sunday stole Brand New's girl?
Yeah, John Nolan was his name from Taken Back Sunday. He left and then came back. But, Yeah, so basically they had this thing, John and Taylor. Now, I listened back to both songs today, and even I will admit, as a Taking Back Sundaysman, it is not my favourite of theirs at all. I listen to a lot. I can still easily listen to a lot of Taken Back Sunday, especially from that album. That's one I usually always skip, to be honest. Hmm. But my question to you is, what was the better song?
The better song was probably the brand new one. Mm. Shade of it. And yet...
who did you find yourself siding with by the end?
Taken Back Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just because I'm like, I don't like the sound of this guy. And also, what happened? So your man stole his girl.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, you get what you deserve. That was basically
Did he say that?
At the end of the song, if you listen to the song.
What?
Best friends means I pull the trigger. Best friends means you get what you deserve.
That's brand new, right? Yeah. Okay. He also wants him to die.
Well.
Essentially.
The brand new guy was like saying, yeah. Oh, you think of me when your head goes through the windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you may not have picked it up, but Taking Back Sunday repeated those lines.
I did pick it up, Andy. And then there's more spine than a jellyfish. Yeah, or something
more
like
guts than 11-year-old kids. And there was a lyric from an album for a song on Brand New's album called Mixtape, where it's like, I've got a $20 bill that says blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then he used that, and I've got a $20 bill that says you're up late night. Anyway, so it goes off on that. So they're pulling the lyrics from each other.
Yeah. I think Brand New is slightly better.
It's a better song.
I'm like, I can't understand what he's saying. It's really hard to understand what he's saying. I could totally understand more of the lyrics for Taking Back Sunday than I could for Brand New.
What?
Yeah.
Are you confusing the two?
No, I'm not.
Because I was thinking in particular, Taking Back Sunday, he's not going to know what he's saying, but Brand New, you can hear everything.
No, you can't. That's the thing. Like,
huh.
Then I was like, what is he saying? What is it about? I was like,
should have gone for the Spotify lyrics. On the bottom.
I was on the move and I was in work listening to this or whatever. Like,
but like, accidentally unplug your headphones. Like, this song does not represent me, everyone.
Clear out your desk.
I would say Brand New. I would say Brand New are by far the better band.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But maybe that album. By but Taking the
Taking Back
the
Sunday, the vibe I got off them was
Taking
like
Sunday are great, but
they're like. Look at this loser. Look at this loser here. Yeah, we're going to make fun of him because he's fucking crying about me taking his girl. Like, you know?
Like wearing your black eye like a badge of honor. Yeah, all this sulking in sympathy. All this. Yeah, I like that.
You know?
Yeah, okay. I didn't expect that, to be honest.
I didn't like either of the songs.
No, I knew that. Yeah. I knew that. I expected you to go heavier on how much bullshit
a lot
of the songs
was. But I think more of the bullshit is on the Brand New side than the Taking Back side. That's what I would say.
Wow. Yeah. God, I'm having so much fun talking about this. This is great. What a great segment. Where I get you to
open. Any segments?
Oh, I've got so many little rabbit holes.
I want to say thanks to Rob for chiming in.
Thank you, Rob, as always.
I want to say, Rob, I don't know what your politics are. I just hope you're staying safe over there in America. It's been 10 days since Trump has been in charge.
So he's in charge then?
Oh, yeah. You're obviously not keeping up with the news.
Terry, you would be flabbergasted at how little I know.
You're right. You're better off. It's just it's like, oh, he's cancelled all aid to firms. He's threatening to withhold, you know.
He wants to
fire relief.
Invade Denmark, are you?
He wants to buy Denmark.
Buy Denmark. Yeah. All right, yeah.
You know, it's, you know.
I mean, if he thought he gave a shit, he gave no shits the first time.
You know, it's kind of crazy. What did they say? The doomsday clock is.
Has just started ticking again.
It's gone a second closer to midnight. You know?
What?
Yeah. So, like, when you get to midnight.
This is a figurative thing.
This is a figurative
thing. There is no doomsday clock.
Well, the scientists say, you know.
Yeah. It's clicking again. Trump's
here. It's scientists. They kind of say, okay, when the clock gets to midnight, it's age of extinction or Armageddon or whatever. So, it's like, God, it was, I want to say 80 seconds last year, and now it's 79 seconds.
To certain death.
Yeah. No, but when they say seconds.
It's not a second.
No,
it's an
like,
incident.
Yeah, like.
Or 79 incidents from
79, possibly 79 years, you know, like you know.
Well,
been a good run.
Sucks for the next generation. Yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, even if my kids, you know, they I think they said 20 80 maybe is, you know, okay. The human race will have.
Well, my kids will have a good one.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be like 60. You know, hope they don't have kids.
Yeah, they're screwed.
I mean, I would love to be a grandparent.
I mean, maybe our kids will live till they're like 100 or something. You know,
where?
What?
Where are they going to live?
Mars, the moon.
Well, the people that
they'll figure it out.
The people. Oh, so you didn't see the Nazis slew it either, like with Musk?
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah, and he's the guy in charge of this getting people to Mars.
Fucking loser! Yeah. This fucking weird pervert loser. I have such strong feelings again, and I was a big proponent of his back in the day, just like I am with all the fucking losers when they start off great. McGregor and all these other people. And I'm like, hey, he's great.
But yeah,
and
you're like, Mr. Beast is good guy.
Hey, fool me once. But yeah, the fucking, I mean, that is nothing but a Nazi salute.
And he's such a like head. Little, he was off his head on drugs.
This weird fucking energy that he's got. Like, honestly, I can't stand him. I have him muted on Twitter, not blocked, because he's not gonna.
I blocked him.
He's not gonna get the better of me.
I want him to know. Fuck you, man. I don't know. It's just so many people that like do the mental gymnastics over there. That are like, it's my heart goes out to you. Like, not. You know, just see it for what it is. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, he's neurodivergent. Yeah. So, I'm like, sorry, it doesn't automatically mean they're all doing fucking Nazi salute.
The next day or 2 days later, it's like his face on a giant screen and like the right wing Nazi party in Germany. He's like, hey, guy, you know, up here, and it's like via Telelink or whatever. So,
what?
He was like, yeah, so like there's a Nazi party
and he
in Germany.
Knowingly
showed up and was like, and he was like, honestly, at their party conference or whatever, I mean,
it was always obvious, and I always joked with Kerry when he was doing good things with SpaceX and all that stuff.
But was he ever doing good things?
It looked like he was going to, you know, like this rocket that he could actually land and not just. You can't just get rid of all the rockets every time you launch one. At least, this one lands back and you can use it again.
He doesn't do anything. Yeah, exactly. It's all smoke and mirrors. Every business that he's been involved in.
He's trying to do the underground tube thing. I mean, none of it came
about. Do you remember the, what you call it, the car? The fucking.
And then you have the Teslas and all that.
Well, no, but I don't think, this is the thing. I don't think he's the one that did anything at Tesla.
Probably not.
Like, what was the car? The Cybertruck. Yeah, he got fucking booted out of PayPal.
Yeah.
For being an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, the Cybertruck, I don't remember, is like indestructible. Yeah. And then like threw the thing at the window and smashed straight away.
The reports a few weeks ago of like Elon Musk is possibly interested in purchasing Liverpool Football Club. I was like, fucking, and all the fucking FSG out.
Yeah, they were like, get him in.
Like, oh my God. Like I literally could not think of a worse person to run my football club.
I can think of one worse person to run your football club. To link this in. One last thing before we get
Hitler.
Into it. Conor O'Malley.
Who's Conor O'Malley?
That's the comedian I sent you.
The clip. Yeah, why'd you send me this clip?
I watched this comedy special on my way to work this morning. It's on YouTube. It's called... what is it called? It's called...
Something to do with buying a...
Jesus Christ. Why am I blanking on the name?
Rav?
No. That's just a clip I sent you.
Right.
It is Conor O'Malley Stand Up Solutions.
All right. What's that on Netflix?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's an hour or so.
Uh-huh.
And it's him on stage playing a character that is like, I'm the co-owner, creator of Stand Up Solutions. Mm-hmm. Where it's like basically, it's an hour long act.
Okay. Kind of like an Alan Partridge. Like
kind of like, but it's like him basically saying comedy through AI. This is in 2023. And he's like, we're taking all your data. We've got a dirty box right here. All your 5G. We're going to take all your stuff. And we're going to have an artificial AI stand-up comedian do it here. And there's just something about this guy. He's been on... I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
Detroiters. He kind of was a writer for Seth Meyers. He shows up in like movies. And he has this like unique energy that like he goes from like 0 to 100... like really quickly
and then back down.
But like even like his crowd work I thought was incredible, where he's like I come from a place in Illinois, the Plains, Illinois. It's like the home of McDonald's. And he's and like somebody's like, whoa, and he's like, hey, where are you from? And she says something. He's like, oh stay away from me. And it's like just that like
that kind of like manic like like he's gives the sense that he's not in control, but he actually is in control.
There's bits in it where he'd be talking and like something will come out and he'd be like, anyway, you know.
Yeah, total like, tangent or something.
Yeah, and that like RAV4 thing, it was like he's doing a PowerPoint presentation on his comedy AI thing, but then he goes off on a tangent of like why a RAV4 Toyota is the best car, clicking through. But I was like,
where'd you find out about this guy?
I've seen him, like, I Think You Should Leave was where I kind of...
And he acted in that?
He acted in it, and it was like, it was the clip I sent you before where it was like, you, if you're a channel, didn't go well. And he's like, they're coming after me in the comments, man. I don't know how any of this works. Ah, I'm dead. I'm so dead.
Do you know what? The clip that you sent me, I was like, I mean, look.
It's out of context.
It was out of context, so I didn't really, I couldn't, you know...
I just wanted to see his vibe, but I could see
the talent there. Do you know what I mean?
It's weird. Like,
if I'd have started it from the start and kind of not the start of the clip, but if I'd have started the YouTube thing from the start or whatever, I probably would have been able to get into it more. Like, when you're in the mid work and like, well, what's this? Yeah, okay. And like, what?
I kind of wanted to talk about it because it's a nice change, I guess, for like stand up comedy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That is like,
it was very stand-up-y.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even though he is it's a Hulk, it's a comedy act, whatever like that. But it's like, I don't know, that seems to be the way a lot of Irish comedians kind of incorporate that into their act now, where it's like, it's kind of a performance piece.
Yeah.
More so than just straight up, you know.
Stand-up. Here's a joke.
You know.
Hey, do you guys ever notice?
That is brilliant. But like when it's done right, like I said, like John Mulaney is like at the moment, like one of the kings of it. But I guess it was more that I was like, I guess I'm more interested like in that kind of stand up now. And then I wanted to ask you like on your opinion of it. Like you used to be the biggest stand up guy I know.
Yeah. Do you know what? I could definitely see generally if I get a clip out of the blue, I'm like stupid. But with this, I was like, I didn't necessarily laugh because I was kind of figuring out as I was going, this is a bit, and he's not actually supposed to be talking about this, he's supposed to be talking about something else, but he keeps going back to this. Like, that's funny. That's a funny idea. But when I watched it, it was the sort of thing that I thought, you know, I could watch this, you know what I mean?
Like, he has, you know, shorts on YouTube that are like 6-minute movies or, you know, and they're quite weird but also like quite funny. It's not like down the middle comedy. You're like, oh, you know, you're watching something left or center here with him. Like, and he did a movie last year, I think it was about an hour 10, hour 20, called Rap World.
Yeah.
And it's about him and his friends. They're like, oh, it's like 2002 or something. They're filming on they're going to make a rap album over the course of one night in his hometown or whatever. It's not him. He's playing a character. And I was like, the movie is bad, but it's supposed to be bad. Yeah, and like then like those. There's times where it's transcendently good. You're like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm also like, but I know he's kind of like fucking with you, where it's like, this is kind of bad.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And these people are idiots.
But you know, speaking of stand-up, I seen a thing there recently of Bill Burr. And it was on Howie Mandel's show. And there was something, I had to go in and figure out what this was about, because Billy Corgan came in and Bill Burr was like, straight away, he's like, you're an asshole to Howie Mandel. And Billy Corgan's like, I can go. Like, he told me it was cool. It's like, that's what he does. You know, all this. Because apparently Billy Corgan had said something previously about, oh, Bill Burr might actually be my half brother because...
half brother,
that like, oh, his dad or whatever, basically implying that
his dad had an affair
Bill
with
Burr's dad had an affair, or his mom had, or someone, whatever, one of them went off and had an affair. And so Bill obviously didn't really want to talk about any of that. He was like, did you not think that because I never talk about it that I didn't want to, you know, it was something like that, like it was awkward looking. And the people in the comments were like, oh, this is a bit and all this. But like, I don't think it was.
He doesn't kind of do those kind of
bits. And apparently it got a little less awkward. But like, I kind of just fell for Billy Corgan because I was like,
well, no, but he knows what he's doing by agreeing to show up to that. Like,
but apparently, like, I don't think it was a thing like, oh, I'm coming on your thing. I think it was just like, oh yeah, come on in. Like, it's no problem or something like that. Because I think Billy Corgan's, I mean,
he's odd. He's an odd
depends
guy.
Who you talk to. I get the impression he's a lovely guy, but apparently he's an arsehole.
You know, so. He's a wrestling promoter.
Yeah, he was big into. He owned TNA, didn't he?
No, he owns NWA.
NWA, at the moment.
But he had like that guy, what's his face? They're like talking about him being like one of the worst bookers. He had that. You remember that guy, the Funkasaurus?
No.
What was his name? The Funkasaurus. His name is Tyrus now, but like, he's
awful
wrestler.
I do remember him,
but like
actually.
Now, but he's like
Funkasaurus.
He's like 15 years older now, and like can't move. And it was like,
he was shit back then.
Oh, he was so bad. And they showed him a clip where it was like a world title match, and he's like jumping from the second rope, and he's supposed to like do a roll through. And I was like, oh my, I would do a better one.
Yeah,
like, it was so fucking bad. And I was like, this guy, I was like, why are you making this guy your world champ? But like, apparently he's a right wing Fox News talking head. So
one of them.
So you get the eyes on the product.
All right, Terry.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the main feature.
Main event of the evening.
So what we're going to do, you probably heard a lot of these songs. Well, you've definitely heard of the bands, I'm sure, but you might not have heard the songs, or maybe a blind spot. So what we're going to do is we're going to recommend one song. Yeah. Off each greatest hits.
I think we talk a bit about the album, why it's good or whatever, and then say if we could pick one song for you to go listen to.
Yeah.
Do this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Care to start? Okay, I'll start. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Their greatest hits, 1971 to 1975. Nice. One of the best-selling albums. Outsold Thriller, this album.
Really?
Yeah, the greatest hits from the Eagles. And it was released in like 76.
I am.
Outsold Thriller, this album. So it was fucking huge. And it's kind of... No.
Why don't you go through the tracks there? What's on it?
I don't have it here. But...
Open your Spotify.
But actually, I'm going to change...
Open my Spotify.
I'm going to change my answer. Because the Eagles also released a Greatest Hits. The Complete Greatest Hits. Which has basically everything. So hang on. Alright, fuck it. I'm just going to go with the first thing I picked. It's got Take It Easy, Witchy Woman, Lion Eyes, Already Gone, underrated, Desperado, One of These Nights.
That's
the one. Tequila Sunrise, Take It to the Limit, Peaceful Easy Feeling, and The Best of My Love.
Nice.
All right there. That's all killer. No,
would you skip any of those?
I might skip Tequila Sunrise.
Yeah, it's missing a few. Like, it's missing a few on
like
that.
It's missing, like...
New Kid in Town is missing, like, you know?
Yeah, so that's why I was going to switch it to the complete one. But, New Kid in Town is a good one. There was a few other ones on the complete collection that were probably better. But if you're looking for a track to get you into it, One of These Nights surely is the one.
I mean, that's a weird hybrid of, like, it's the Eagles, but... They're kind of doing the Bee Gees. They're kind of doing...
They are, actually.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Like, it's incredible. Like, you know, they're doing this, like, high medley, almost disco at times, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, the fucking bass, like, boom, ba-doom, doom, ba-doom, doom. And, like, that being...
But the bit, you know, there's a bit... two bits, you know, like, the lyrics where he's talking about, you know... But I got a few of my own. But there's a bit in it where it's like, oh, he's feeling it, where he's like, we're going to find one. One that really screams. And like, oh, yes.
Searching for an angel in white. I've been waiting.
There's a book called To the Limit, which has all the stories of the Eagles. Apparently they were the fucking wildest.
Yeah,
band.
I seen there was a documentary on Netflix a couple of years ago where it's like one of them was talking and the other one just was like poured beer over his head and a big fight. And you know the song in the song Take It to the Limit, there was a new guy in the Eagles, you know, the one who was like please at the end. He refused to sing it live because he's like, I can't hit that note or whatever. And so they fired him or something. They have a big argument and they fucking, you know, it seemed like they were.
There's, you know, like Life in the Fast Lane. Was that on your list?
No, that's not in
like,
this one. Yeah.
So the lyric for that, the song for that is they were getting drugs in like at midnight in LA.
Yeah.
And it was like they stiffed the drug dealer. The guy who was, he was in the car with, Joe Walsh I think was in the car with the drug dealer.
The crazy one.
Who was buying the drugs off them. They stiffed that and it was like they were being chased by the drug dealer like, and a shotgun was being blasted at them. And he's like, Jesus Christ! And then the dealer's like, Life in the Fast Lane, baby! You know? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning in deserted LA, like, you know?
Oh, I can picture that.
Or like Lion Eyes was literally...
Yeah, I've seen that, like, Lion Eyes.
He's in a bar and he's like, I know I could go home with her right now. Her husband is sitting next to her, like...
And actually, come to think of it, this one, the 71, 75 doesn't even have like Hotel California or anything like that.
Waiting for you.
So I'm going to swap back again to the complete collection.
Cool.
Yours?
Number 5 for me is Billy Joel, Greatest Hits Volume 1 and 2.
I'll tell you now, that's my number 3.
Ooh, okay, all right, yeah. I was thinking if we have crossover, that might be it. Was that one of your locked in to start?
No, it wasn't actually. And I was thinking like, phew, nearly missed it.
I have it on vinyl. It's a nice one to put on.
It was my first introduction to Billy Joel.
That album.
Yeah.
The Essential Billy Joel was mine. So it has a lot of the same ones. The reason I have it at number 5 is it's missing a couple, and there's a couple on there that like say Captain Jack, or let's say.
I mean, to jump in with Captain Jack as track 2.
Yeah,
is quite a bold statement. Do you like Captain Jack?
No, I would take it out.
The Entertainer.
Like, there's a few.
I don't know.
It's chock a block, but like.
I mean, it is actually, really, isn't it?
It is, but like, it's missing, say, Vienna.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, there's a
that's
few.
But that's not a greatest hit, is it? Was that a single?
I don't know, but like.
You're looking for a best of, or you're looking for a definitive collection, my friend.
Well, maybe I am, but like, on my greatest hits, I'm like, okay, I could take that out there. And it's an interesting conversation to be had, is like, what makes it a greatest hit as opposed to, you know, best of.
Or,
you know, like, I don't have the date in front of me how many singles Captain Jack sold, you know? But like, it's got.
I like it in there.
Even the, like The Stranger, something like that, like Pressure. Yeah. I like that they have.
I think it's just that they weren't singles. I think the greatest hits, it has to have been like
a single,
a high charting single.
Mm, how interesting!
I think that's because that's a hit. You know what I mean? Mm. You can't really have an album
hit
track.
Is a hit.
That's a hit.
It's full. It runs the gamut of his, you know.
Yeah.
His career, you know, it has the doo-wop stuff. It has. Piano Man era, like, you know, it kind of
Allentown.
Everything. Allentown, good. I love it. Picking the track from it.
What are you picking?
Only the Good Die Young or Big Shot.
Oh, Big Shot.
Because you've heard everything else.
Prove it to the crowd.
I always hated it actually, but I like it more
as
I'm older.
You had to be a big shot, DJ. You know, like, because we've heard everything else 100 million times.
True.
Only the Good Die Young, just like that fucking. The keyboard, like. You know.
Come out, Virginia. It's great.
Only the Good Die Young.
God, I love Billy Joel.
He's great. I actually had him at like number three earlier on in the week and kind of shuffled him around.
Just
when I was listening to it, I was like, like they say Captain Jack, I'm like, number two and I want to skip it already.
Yeah, true.
You know?
But I mean, for a doubler though, getting a 90% hit rate. You know what I mean?
I agree.
All right. Number four.
For you.
Speaking of Billy Corgan, I'm going to go Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow.
Yeah. Rotten Apples. 2001, I think, came out.
I didn't think you had it in you.
Oh, yes. I very much have it in me. I've hugely gotten back into them. And I'd only heard that Greatest Hits for the longest time. And I'm only now getting into like Siamese Dream, I think, and Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness and a few of those that I just had never gotten close to. I came across some songs I'd never heard, like Mayonnaise, which is apparently like all Smashing Pumpkins fans' favorite song. I'd never heard of it. I'm like, oh, it is fucking amazing.
I've never heard of it.
But it's not on the greatest hits for some reason.
It wasn't it.
But it just got me. Do you know what? I felt maybe it was because of the Simpsons Lollapalooza, Homerpalooza episode. I just feel like this is cool music, and I like that I like it. Do you know what I mean?
Get it.
But there's songs like Cherub Rock is a fantastic one. That's the one I probably recommend. There's Disarm, which is great. Bullet with Butterfly Wings. 1979 is great. Zero is great. Tonight is great. And all the second half of the album, which is all their kind of like early 2000s, like gothy, industrially sort of stuff, is also fucking brilliant as well. I'm really digging it at the minute.
Put it above the Eagles, though. How interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, at the minute. You know, ask me next week, it'd be something else.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I kind of think our greatest hits for me is like you put it on and you let it roll and wash over you. And just for me, the Smashing Pumpkins, I would feel
wouldn't
like
scratch your itch. But you were kind of saying previously that you wouldn't.
I think I like six of their songs.
That's still
quite
good.
A lot. And then like, but you can't have a greatest hits with just six songs, you know?
No.
For me.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So what would be the track you would choose?
I will go with I'll go with Cherub Rock. I think it's one of the best intros and stuff like that. I like, and that's one that was a bit of a blind spot back when I listened to this album a lot, and I've only kind of, when I got into them again, I'm like, oh, that's actually a fucking classic. Brock.
Number four for me,
please.
Is
go on
Bruce Springsteen, Greatest Hits.
Oh, okay. Now, before you get into it, can I just say my criteria is very like, because I found Greatest Hits albums that I've never listened to. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't include them, like, oh, the Beatles' Greatest Hits. Or,
yeah, I have
know
no
what
Beatles
I mean?
On it.
If I haven't consumed it a lot, yeah. I didn't put it in. Do you know what I mean? So
this is one that was on in my house constantly.
Right.
Every Sunday, we're going to the church.
Yeah.
My dad is in the front room. Can't wait for us to get out. And it's the door is to the front room is closed. Curtains drawn. Lights off. And
yeah.
Born to Run is blaring. You know, it's just, and you know, I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the run here. Let me just
hit me.
Run. Born to Run, Turn the Road, Badlands, The River, Hungry Heart, Atlantic City, Dancing in the Dark, Born in the USA, My Hometown, Glory Days, Brilliant Disguise, Human Touch, Better Days, Streets of Philadelphia, Secret Garden, Murder Incorporated, Blood Brothers, This Hard Land. Like,
that's pretty good for me. That's about a 70% success rate.
70
for me.
How
stupid.
I, you know, you're not skipping a song.
I'd be skipping like Badlands and fucking
Badlands. The song I'm saying go listen to.
Oh, really?
The most like
maybe I haven't heard of it. Like it's
Badlands. You gotta read it now.
Spend your life waiting for a moment that just don't come.
think
Badlands is the song I would choose to be like, because you've heard,
you've heard the others. You've heard the rest.
And they're the best. the points I would take away would be, doesn't really have anything from his first album. Doesn't have the ones I want from his first album, that, like, you know, Blinded by the Light, Growing Up, that were singles.
It's Blinded by the Light. That's not Blinded by it. Yeah. That's not him, though, is it?
Yeah, he did the original.
Oh, the cover is the more popular
Manfred Mann's.
Right.
That was the only Bruce Springsteen song to go to number one, and he didn't even release it.
Really?
In the US Billboard charts.
He's never at number one?
Never.
Oh, he's not that kind of artist, though, is he?
Yeah, well, he's a working man.
He's one that, see, Billy Joel, and we've done, if you're interested, folks, we've done a whole episode on Billy Joel versus Bruce Springsteen over on Patreon, Billy versus the Boss. But, because Billy Joel I would have known as a kid, like, not personally, but I think it was really you who got me into Bruce Springsteen, and Andy.
You always said you only listened to The River, and I'm like, come on, like, you know, yeah, there's so much more.
So now I have three albums in my blunt rotation.
There's a greatest hit, like, listen to, I just had it on, Badlands, The River, Hungry Heart, Atlantic City, like, what a run there.
Yeah, I love
that. Then it's like, Dance in the Dark, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really like it. And then I'm listening, I'm like, actually, fucking hell, like,
you know. So I'm a huge fan, I didn't like it for ages. I like that now. I like songs like I'm on Fire.
Yeah.
I love that, and, mine, you know, questionable lyrics, but, you know.
But, I don't know, it's just,
yeah, it's class. You don't even need to.
You know what it is? So I would pick Badlands as the song.
Okay.
You go and listen to from their difficult follow-up album. I think I said difficult second album last time I was talking about Darkness at the Edge of Town.
You'd like to correct that mistake?
Yes, it's the difficult follow-up album. It's the fourth album. Follow-up album to Born to Run. It took 3 years to record it afterwards. And then everybody's like, what's this?
It's a shit.
And there you go back and listen. It's like fucking class, man.
Okay.
Yep.
My number three was Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And you know what my number two is going to be?
Yep.
My number two is going to be
Eminem.
No, but close. Tupac's Greatest Hits. Okay. I'll tell you why. There's a method to my madness. This was my introduction to rap.
Hmm.
This got me into the genre
rap game.
Of rap, into the rap game. And granted, it was really a cash grab from Death Row and Suge Knight after Tupac died. But this was like Changes came out.
Changes.
And that
changed
was
the game.
And that was the big, that was the song.
That was a breakthrough for a lot of people our age.
For me, and so for me, that was like 98, I think. Like, I was like 13. And everyone was just talking about Tupac. Like, everyone knew him already. And I was like, who? Like, it's Tupac. Like, what? Tupac of what?
Tupac of crisps.
But, so it's got Keep Your Head Up, Two of America's Most Wanted, Hail Mary, Me Against the World, How Do You Want It, Hit 'Em Up, of course. It's got the song that I would recommend you go listen to, I Ain't Mad At You.
Yeah, niggas. Cause I ain't mad at you. Now, we was once two niggas of the same kind. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping off Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. You a Muslim now, no more dope game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mosque?
Anyway, it's got Changes, California Love, you know.
I'm surprised now to hear that that's on.
But it's
got, that's not him, right?
What?
California Love is not Tupac.
Yeah, it's Tupac and Dr. Dre.
Oh, I thought it was like a feat. You know what I mean? It was a...
It's featuring Roger from Zap and Roger fame. I don't have to tell you all about that, Terry. Do you know, I feel like I'm literally, barring Tony...
Zap and Roger.
Zap and Roger, everyone that I've played it to fucking hates it, except Tony and me.
It stinks.
It doesn't stink. It's like California Love, but a whole album of it. Does that sound good?
No.
Just the high computerized voice version.
California Love works because the dangerousness of Tupac and Dr. Dre.
True.
These guys, I'm like, heard it to their
computer.
How much longer would you be my friend?
Oh, one of the greatest covers of all time. Anyway.
Okay, I'm going to go with my three and two.
Please.
And then we can both do our ones.
Okay.
So my number three is your most hated greatest hits, I'm sure.
What?
Queen.
The 1981 version?
It is. Let me tell you what year.
Because I was actually going
1981. Now,
yeah, I was going to.
They have a greatest hits 2 and 3.
Yeah,
though, so that's the thing. So it's just greatest hits.
I was very close to putting this on, even though I'm not a big Queensman. It's undeniable.
It is undeniable.
And this is the one that it's the only Queen thing that I would have really listened to, album.
I didn't have the individual album. Here we go, right? Bohemian Rhapsody, Another One Bites the Dust, Killer Queen, Fat Bottom Girls, Bicycle Race, You're My Best Friend, Don't Stop Me Now, Save Me, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, Somebody to Love, Now I'm Here, Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy, Play the Game, Flash, Seven Seas of Rye, We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions.
I mean, that is.
I'm like, it
so
should be number
strong.
One. It was my number one when I was making the list at the
was
start.
It?
I was like, well, start a Queen and work your way back. Like, and
yeah.
Very few that I'd skip. You know what I mean?
I might skip Seven Seas of Rye.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Seven Seas of Rye is, if anything, I might skip.
Bicycle.
Yeah. Bicycle Race is good, though. Like, you're like, when you're like.
When it gets into it, but it's that opening 20 seconds, like, ah, no. You know?
Yeah, no. My instinct is to skip it, and then when I let it play, I'm like, I see black, I see white. You know?
Yeah.
Give me a fry. Hey man, don't want me.
Now the question is, what one would be your
great question? So, Somebody to Love is my favorite Queen song.
Yeah,
it's like
I love it.
Fine, be somebody to love. Fine, me. I'm like, oh, this is not my way over. It's like, I'm like, start knocking people over. Like, but I think because we've all heard that so much.
Yeah.
Good old fashioned lover
Ooh.
Boy, gonna get it. Ooh, boy.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, lover boy.
Boy, what you do tonight? Hey boy, set my alarm, turn on my charm. That's because I'm a good old fashioned lover boy. Ooh, let me feel your heartbeat
grow faster, faster.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's undeniable. Even the fact that I was only saying recently, I'm not a Queensman, but that was going to...
Like, you vetoed my top five Queen songs, but you probably just would pull them from this.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, yeah. That's,
hey, boy,
it's absolute quality.
All right, so that's my four. That's my three.
Okay, number two.
Number two is... Now, you can't find the album on Spotify, but it is an album.
Okay.
I found the playlist that had that matched up all the songs to the album tracks.
What's the greatest hits?
ELO's Greatest Hits, 1979.
Now, do you know what? I was looking at this, but I don't know. I'm more of a very best of ELO.
Well, that's the... I mean, when we're doing the best of
that,
because you're missing like Horace Wimp, you know,
off this
and stuff. Whereas...
But did you listen to this Greatest Hits?
Yeah, then? I did.
This specific one?
Yes.
Okay.
So like, the playlist is there. The playlist is the same as the album.
What's on it?
Evil Woman, Living Thing, Can't Get It Out of My Head, Showdown, Turn to Stone, Rockaria,
yeah.
Sweet Talking Woman, Telephone Line, My Bell, Strange Magic, and Mr. Blue Sky.
I mean, you know what? That's great, but they are missing a shit ton of ELO.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know why. Talking about it now, I'm like, probably you should swap Queen and ELO.
Yeah.
But then when I was listening to it, I'm like, I know, I'm just getting so much more out of it when I was listening to it today. You know, it was like...
It's a fist clenching, fist pumping. Like, what's it missing there? It's missing what? Confusion?
Yeah.
Hold On Tight?
Xanadu? Long Black Road?
Evil Woman, did you say?
No,
Woman?
Evil Woman kicks off the album.
Don't Bring Me Down, is that on it?
I don't think it is on it, actually. Don't Bring Me Down.
Shine a Little Love.
Bruce? Yeah, what's the other one?
Turn Stones on my running playlist. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
man. Sweet Talking Woman. I mean,
Sweet Talking Woman is one of the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah, like, you know, what are we doing? If I was to pick one, it's tough. Probably Telephone Line, though. I was listening to it today and I was just like,
as it comes on, I'm like, I actually want to cry. I love it so much. And it's so like not a crying song, but you know what I mean? It's so good. And I'm so happy when it comes on that I feel like it could move me to tears.
You know, it's not even the like doo-wop, do. It's like even the bits in between.
That's the thing. It's all the.
It's like on a lonely, lonely night. That's what I'd say.
I'd tell you everything. If you pick up that telephone. You have that whole doo-wop, which is great. And then it kicks in. And then you think, that would be enough for you. But then it kicks into a, telephone line. Give me some time.
Also, Rock Aria I would have in there.
That's a bit of a blind spot for me, actually.
Oh, that's like...
I usually skipped it when I hear the...
That's cool, man. That's the start. Because when we went to see them...
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Lynne. It's just like... Oh, yeah. So, like, he's Mozart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, how did he put together all these different moving parts? Like, it's incredible.
What song did you say you'd pick on that?
Telephone Line.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Sweet Talking Woman. But Telephone Line.
Close one.
Yeah. Showdown is also a little bit of a like sneaky one.
Do we have the same number one?
You tell me.
Number one, The Cure, Greatest Hits. It's not even on your top five.
No. I have it written down.
I'll give you mine.
I have it written
down. It's The Cure.
Yeah. It did not make the cut.
Whew.
You know why?
Why?
I found myself...
Because of the last five songs?
Yes. And also, what's the one at the start where it's like... I'm like, I don't remember this.
The Walk?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't on the original. But I only heard it like 10 years ago. It's fucking amazing.
I didn't like it, man. I loved it.
I was like, what is this cool, like, synthy 8-bit sort of...
It wasn't on the CD that I had.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't on my CD either, but it's...
I didn't like it.
And to throw it in at number 4 as well. Yeah, they didn't even throw it at the end.
I was like, this throw me all off. No, Andy.
I think this... When I was 17, or 16 actually, I was in my goth phase, as you know, and cards on the table, didn't like a lot of the music, a lot of the goth, actual goth music. And then when I heard about The Cure, I'm like, oh, he's a goth, and this is really accessible, enjoyable music. And I was like, okay, yeah, Boys Don't Cry, A Forest, Let's Go to Bed, 3 absolute bangers right there. You have The Walk, which is fine. You have The Love Cats, In Between Days, Close to Me, Why Can't I Be You, which is probably the one that I would pick at the minute because it's impossible to not feel good. Like Heaven, one of my favorite songs of all time. Lullaby, Love Song. And then it kind of gets a bit patchy then. But then you got Friday I'm in Love, Mint Car. They're both very good. And the rest, not as good.
I found
some of them are intolerable.
The back half was an anchor this time around. I was like, oh no. The aggregate is being dragged down here. Like,
if they'd have made it like 16 songs or something, that would have been,
It was almost, you know, you're like, oh, either not enough ELOs, like there's too much Cure.
You know what I mean?
Like trim, cut
and
the
And there's
fat,
so like. Much I've discovered since this album got me into them, like great songs that they could have put in there. But anyway.
That one I sent you from Rules of Attraction.
Yeah.
It was fucking class. Like.
Brilliant. Like. And I only just discovered that Letter to Elise or whatever it's called, which I don't know if that was a hit or whatever, but quality.
Anyway. Might have been hits. My number one, I'm surprised you don't have it on yours. I'm going to be
fucking raging now, haven't I?
Greatest hits, Crosby, Stills and Nash. We had it, and this is before you even mentioned doing the top five greatest hits. We had it on in the house. Faye had it on, and we were doing stuff in the kitchen. I was like, oh man, like, I was like, is this the greatest hits? And she's like, yeah. And it just.
Do you know, I've never listened to the greatest hits.
All right, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, Shadow Captain, Helplessly Hoping, Long Time Gone, Our House, Southern Cross, Marrakesh Express, Guinevere, See the Changes, Teach Your Children, Wooden Ships
on the Water,
Just the Song Before I Go.
To a lesser extent.
Delta.
Delta's great.
49 Bye Byes, like, that's the one I pick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Waste on the Way, Carry On, like, In My Dreams, Cathedral, Daylight Again.
Do you know what?
Just it's let fucking, it wash over you.
It's
like,
fucking quality looking
it's
at
incredible.
It now. I've never listened to this album.
You sure?
You know what I mean? Like, I listened to all these songs on the individuals.
That's what I was like. And it's like, all these together.
It really puts it into focus how fucking brilliant they were.
49 Bye Byes is the one I would recommend. Go out of your way to like hear it.
Yes. 49 Reasons.
All of them good ones. All of them lies. Drifting with my lady, we're oldest of friends. Need a little work and there's fences to mend.
It's so weird to get a group like that who there's been super groups before
and
but
after.
I have never seen a super group that has been so much greater than the sum of their parts. It's like you put them together and you get like this, it was genuine magic. Like, who knew that these three people from these different bands, when they harmonize together, sounds like this, like it blows you back where you're like, fucking hell, what, how many people are singing here? Or like the way,
but it doesn't even, to me it doesn't even feel like a super group.
They
were,
because I know them better from that
than anything else, but then you're like, oh yeah, they had all this history beforehand, like the Hollies and Buffalo Springfield and all that, and now they've come together to form this thing,
and it's just, and then especially the first two albums, like I will admit, like there's a few songs
Young into the mix as well, like,
yeah, you know what I mean. But like the first two albums, I think, are two of the best albums, two of my favorite albums of all time. I really drop off after that, though. I don't really listen to much after that. You know what
it's
I mean?
Kind of the way, though.
Then they went off each other, basically.
They didn't like making music. We didn't like listening to the music.
A quality pick, if I may.
Do you have any
alternates?
Yeah.
Do you know I did have alternates?
Flushed them down the toilet, huh?
One of them was, I don't know how you feel about this, but Michael Jackson's History, Volume 1. That was technically a greatest hits.
Was that You Rock My World?
No.
No?
That was Invincible, Terry.
Okay.
History, like, History Part 2 was technically a new album, and he had, like, Scream, you know, with Janet Jackson. Stop pressuring me. You know.
The most expensive music video of all time
million,
at one point.
Million quid?
Like,
that
what?
Time?
For
I
that?
Know.
Like,
so stupid. Yeah. But, I mean, disc one had all of the, you know.
Hey, did I tell you the other night that Thriller, you were talking about Thriller, that Quincy Jones basically hired Toto to be the musician. Like, all the session musicians.
On Thriller.
Really? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, I played, you know, my yacht rock obsession.
What was on your
alternates? I had The Cure.
Yeah.
I had Donovan. And it's like,
when
paper,
you think about it, there's a lot of
good stuff there.
Yeah.
the few that I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to skip this one.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have stumbled across the other few of those, I had him at number 5 at one point during the week. There's a lot of ones that I wait for the best of. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's.
I probably would have had an easier time
doing the best of.
Doing the best of.
I think I might have had a harder time.
Do you think so?
Because the best ofs can be better.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have had a better choice.
Yeah, you would have more options.
There's a few where I'm like, oh, what about that? And I'm like, oh, that was the best of. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I can't do that.
But that's what I mean. It's harder because it's better.
You think? Anyway. I don't know. Yeah, well.
Another
time, perhaps.
Yeah, another top 5.
What do we miss? Folks, if
don't
you,
let us know.
If you want to hear more of these inane ramblings, particularly if you like this style of episode where the last half hour was music related, join us on the Patreon, friends, because we've got about 50 other music episodes waiting for you, including about another 50 general
top fives,
a lot of top fives. In fact, it's the benchmark of
top five album openers. Features a lot of the guys we're talking about here today.
Top five. I mean, there's a bunch.
Top five soundtracks.
We also have our top What's so great about the MCU series? What's so great about Ryan Gosling, where Terry tried to convert me to Goslingism? What's so great about 90s action?
Another disciple, folks.
What's so great about Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies? And you also get early access to these episodes. You get to shape, by merely suggesting it, we will do an episode.
Yeah.
And you get 2 extra Bono episodes a month. At the minute, we're currently looking at What's so great about heist movies.
This week, we're covering 1981's Thief by Michael Mann. Chicago's own Michael Mann.
We also had other series. What was the last season that we did?
Tony Scott.
Yeah, we had the movies of Tony Scott, which is, you know, fucking brilliant, by the way.
So you're going to have a good time over there. Again, low fee of 5 euro a month. Now,
what else can I do, Jerry?
If you can't afford
Is he going to go for the low-hanging fruit?
Fee, well, you know what? You can
thinking.
Give me a rating and review now, Andy.
Yes, Terry.
You know, Donald Trump has been sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. But I don't want a 47-star review. I want a 5-star review.
How does he do it?
Very simple. Whatever number comes into my head.
I thought you were going to go, well, we did a top 5.
Yeah, the low-hanging fruit.
That's what I thought.
You warned me on it.
Good.
Big thanks to Neil Murray Music as well, who does our great
Legend.
Theme song. He's a great musician and an even better guy.
Absolutely.
Been on the agenda to thank him. We should do it every week, really.
We should.
For better podcasts.
We should probably do it up front.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, maybe we should.
You know?
Yeah. And also, if you like funny t-shirts, you know, in our bio on Instagram, you can get access to, you know, our Daniel Day-Lewis Peachtree Dance Award for Best Line Reading T-shirt. We got some mugs. We got
an Ed Harris outtake. What are you doing? Which we say all the time. Do you know, I keep meaning to, one, put up more images of the merch so people can see it, but also to post all of the in-jokes. Do you know what I mean? Like, if people don't know what we're talking about with, like, what are you doing? Which we say all the time. Or
put a little clip.
Yeah, or like, you're breathing on my fur. Uh-huh. Like, or like, I too am well. You know, like all these things that we get from other shows.
Yeah. We got some t-shirts there that's, you know.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Yeah, so go check it out.
Yeah, even Terry's 5-star review has its own t-shirt.
Yeah.
Huh? You should really be wearing that whilst doing the reviews.
Why don't you buy it from me?
Okay, that seems fair. I do need to buy them, but on that note.
Until next week, folks.
Thank you so much and
stay safe out there.
Bon appetit, huh?
Mm. Bye. Thank you.
Long there,
yeah. It's like hour and a half. All right, doesn't matter. Half an hour here.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get out.
Be out by 6:50. I'm getting up out of this
yes,
chair.
Great. Okay. Let me just.
Bookmarks. What was this movie again?
Thief.
Oh yeah.
What was this movie again? This is gonna be good, huh?
No, I just genuinely couldn't remember.
All right.
What? All right.
You ready?
Two. What?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great Is the podcast that sees a straight arrow. I'm a true blue kind of podcast. I've been cool, so let's cut the mini moves and the bullshit and get on with this big romance, Andy. Well, my name's Terry.
Well, my name's Andy. This is your part now. Yeah, Andy, how the heck are you?
What?
This is your part. You screwed it up.
I'm drawing a blank.
I said, my name is Andy.
Yeah.
You say,
Andy, you're the bloody hell out.
Very well, Terry. And you?
I do. Well.
Well, it is good to hear it eventually. I'm so happy that you are
I was in the James Caan zone.